Jesus' name. Let's stand together, if you will. Just bow our heads, we open the service. Glorious Heavenly Father, Lord, we appreciate you so much. Lord, once again, Father, we heard your call to gather together. Lord, thank you for giving us strength to do this. Lord, most of all, the desire to fulfill your word. Lord, we pray that you would just feed us through your word tonight. Grant to us understanding, Lord. Father, somewhere we can draw closer to you. Lord, bless the few songs you play on our hearts, Lord. May calm our spirits, clear our minds. Lord, put the world outside. Lord, just be centered on you. We ask this, Father, in your precious name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Like that. If you will, turn with me in our Holy Glee books. Praise his name. Page 698. Page 698. God on the Mountain. Amen. Life is easy when you're up on the mountain.
Goodbye.
Something beautiful, something good. Hallelujah. Amen. Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, He understands. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are privileged to stand before You, God, and know that we can talk to You through a price that was paid for us. That, Lord, You shed Your blood on Calvary. That, Lord, we could speak to You. Father, our voices would go out through that bumper of blood. And we appreciate that, Lord, with all our hearts. Our Lord, we had nothing to offer You. We come to You. We had nothing but brokenness and strife and problems and troubles in our life. But Lord, being rich in mercy and grace, You reached down, Lord, and brought us out of that. And we're so thankful for that. And Lord, You also made a way that tonight as we come, Lord, for this portion of service, that we would present our needs back to You. But Lord, that You would take care. You would answer our prayers tonight, Father, because we ask, Lord, according to Your will, Lord. And Father, we ask that everyone that had a desire or a need in their life tonight, You know what it is, Father. We wouldn't know what it is, but You do. And we are so thankful that You do. We ask that You would just reach down and touch us, Lord, and meet the need in each one of our individual lives. Father, those that's sick and afflicted, Lord, we ask that You would reach down in their home tonight and touch them, Lord, and make them whole, and may they give You the glory and the honor for it, Lord. And Father, we gather tonight to gather around the Word again. We ask for revelation, Lord. We ask that You would speak to our hearts as individuals, and You would meet the needs in our life spiritually. Lord, we know we're getting close to that period, Lord. And Father, there's so many things that You left for Your little bride, Lord, that You spoke to.
spiritually, Lord, by revelation. And Father, come subject to the word that you want us to come subject to. Bless us now as we wait on you to speak to us through the word. We ask it through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. These things be fulfilled in our life, that we may give you the glory and the honor for it all. In the lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen.
Praise his name. You may be seated. Amen. Will somebody have a song? Josh, you got something? 277? Amen.
Of
Let's sing the little chorus. Only believe, ask our public. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Only believe. Bow our heads. Precious Lord, once more we've come together around your word, and Lord, as we open up these pages and renew our minds to these things that you have recorded for us, Lord, we just ask that some way something would be said to strengthen and encourage us, Lord, and to cause us to be watchful, Lord, and to keep ever mindful those things that you've spoken unto us. For Lord, that's why we've come tonight, just to stir up our minds, Lord, by the way of remembrance of your precious word. And Lord, give you the Holy Ghost and his Holy Spirit an opportunity, Lord, to speak to our hearts. Yes. Father, we'll never fail to see you receive the glory and the honor for it all. In the most precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Do you love him?
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Yes, while you're still standing, if you would, we'll turn our Bibles over to 1 John in the 4th chapter. I did not mean to hold you as long as I did this morning, and I apologize. I really didn't think it had been that long, but didn't want to wear out my welcome in the first Sunday morning. So, amen. But just a little thought as we were speaking this morning, just to kind of go along with that. But let's read here in 1 John, the 3rd chapter, and start at the 23rd verse. And this is his commandment, 1 John, 3rd chapter, 23rd verse. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. Hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. May the Lord bless you, his word, and you may be seated. You know, just to, as we were speaking this morning, and you know, just a little inspiration that I kind of took that thought from was an end time sign seed that Brother Brandon preached. And also with that, he had tied a lot of that out of the spoken word is the original seed. And just to bear that in mind as we see the time we're living and the realizing those two seeds and two spirits are in the church, the framework of the church. And you know it's going to be here. You can't, whether you're here or whether you go somewhere else, it's in the framework of the church. You can't escape it. Amen. And we want to take the word that's been given us and make sure that we're strengthened and make sure we understand what's required. Mm-hmm. And make sure that we don't allow someone to water the word down to us as to the expectations of what God is looking for. Amen. And you know, by God's grace, I believe our pastor here has a great burden for that, and he understands that. As we've said here, and we hear the preaching, and we listen to what the Holy Spirit lays upon his heart, and the burden that's on his heart to feed the lambs and sheep of God, and to see them grow, and to be weary. And you know, sometimes that's a great burden, and we see it throughout the land in God's ministry. You see the warnings going forth. You see the preaching of God's word,
But as John put it here, you know, believe not every spirit. Mm-hmm. But, and Brother Branham, a couple things we'll read, you know, as he talks about the motive and objectives and looking at things. Mm-hmm. But I'd like us to turn over to Matthew, if you would, and let's read Jesus' warning here, the way he put it. In Matthew 13, very familiar, but just to bear in mind as we travel this road, as I said, you've been sent here to be a light, and God give you by grace the desire he's placed within you, whatever you are today, it's only by his grace. As John said just a few verses over, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We didn't overcome in ourselves, but by what that little seed being placed in there and watered by the word, he has overcome and give us the strength to be that overcomer by his grace. But here in John, the 13th chapter, and we'll start here about the 24th verse as Jesus was speaking. He says, "In another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. And while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. And the servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them.
Yes.
But let them both grow together until the harvest. Mm-hmm. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them into bundles to burn. Mm-hmm. But gather the wheat into my barn. Mm-hmm. And then paragraph 36. And then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares and of the field. And he answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world. And the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. But then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Amen.
Yes, amen.
And by God's grace, realizing we're in that last age, and realizing we are in that time of maturity, the fruit is on the vine, as we said this morning. It's coming to that place. And over in Matthew 10, if you would turn over to Matthew 10, we'll just read a very short scripture. But Jesus, as he was talking to send his disciples out, this was the advice he gave them. In Matthew 10 and 16, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep into the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Amen.
Yeah.
And how, you know, when you think of the scripture also says, be quick to hear and slow to speak.
Mm-hmm.
How we should truly guard and watch ourselves as we are in these last few moments of time. And, you know, we see the spirit going throughout the land. Satan's doing all he can, roaming to and fro, trying to devour and to destroy and to tear down all that God has built up. But in the middle of that, there is a true seed word bride. And, you know, many may think, well, it's just coming from my church or this church. No, it's going to come from all over this world.
Yes,
God will gather his bride from wherever she is.
Amen.
And we'll join together. But it's all I can do is follow the leading of the Holy Spirit where he leads me to be. And if he leads me to this little place to be my gathering place, then this is where I come and I gather and I say, Lord, feed me and nurture me, Lord, and keep me in your fold. And now God will do that for his little elect wherever she is all over this earth. But as we see, Satan has definitely crept in. That vine has really entangled itself. And how we see it more and more. And, you know, and sometimes you might say, well, you know, our pastor has showed us the scriptures into the Satan's ministry and God's ministry. But let's bring it down even more into just our day-to-day brothers and sisters we rub shoulders with. Each one of us must be weary. Each one of us must watch. Each one of us must be fortified in the spirit, prayed up, and understanding and watching for anything the devil would try to pull on us or pull us over. And Brother Branham, and this is very familiar, but in the message, One in a Million, paragraph 54, just keep bear it in mind as we see where we are today. He says, when Israel left Egypt, they were approximately 2 million people left at the same time. And every one of them heard a message of a prophet. And every one of them saw the pillar of fire. Every one of them was baptized to Moses in the Red Sea. And every one of them shouted in the spirit and beat the tambourines and run up and down the bank with Miriam. When Moses sang in the spirit, they everyone drank from the same spiritual rock. They everyone eat fresh manna every night, every one of them. But there was only two made the land, one out of a million. What was the test? They all drank in the same rock. They all eat the same spiritual manna as we're eating this morning. But the word test proved them. When it come to the time of Kadesh Barnea, when they started over into the promised land, they could not go over till they was tested by the word. And the other 10 came back and said, we can't make it. The people were like grasshoppers to them. But there's great walled city. The opposition is too great. But Joshua and Caleb stilled the people and said, we're more than able to do it.
Yes,
why? God said, before they left the promised land, I've given you the land. I've give it to you, it's yours. But there was one out of each million.
Yes.
And so how we, Brother Branham preached, you know, one in a million, that message, and really tied that in, but how it ought to cause us to be sober and to really think. It's not for me to say, well, you're saved and you're not saved. You're in, you're out. That's not my place. But I can be a fruit inspector. I can watch the life. And you know, we can look back to, you know, a few years ago to the shape we were in, or maybe where we come from, and God's mercy and grace overshadowed and pulled us back to the truth and to show us, to set us on the straight and narrow. And God is still doing that today. And until time is no more, there is grace. We pray. As Brother Branham preached many messages, we have to continue on as though it's not that time. And we pray for everyone, and we want everyone to make it. We want everyone to see that. And you know, it's a time when it's got to be a life lived. That fruit hanging in the tree proving out that there is a vindicated life living through you, living through me, shining forth this glorious gospel. Not something I just talk about today, but my life, don't live it tomorrow. But every day it holds true in every aspect, in every place I go, that life being seen and lived. Showing that revelation isn't of my church, isn't of my fellow brother or my fellow sister, but that revelation is to me personal. That personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That no matter, maybe someone will try to sway you, you need to come over and do this thing. You ought to be part of this. But weigh it out in the spirit, as we're going to read some things the prophet said here. This was in the message, God identifying himself by his characteristics. And this was preached March 20th, 1964. And we'll read about paragraph 22 here. He said, two hands are just almost the same. They got the same kind of thumbprints, fingerprints, five fingers, small index, and so forth. Just as the right hand and the left hand has the same kind of fingers, normally the same size hand, just exactly. And the only difference there is one is a left and the other one is right. That's the only difference you can tell. One is left and the other one is right. So then in that, Jesus said, I might drop a little point here. Jesus said in Matthew 24 that the characteristics of the Spirit would be somewhat alike in the last days, so close that it would deceive the very elected if it was possible. See? So you take your hand and you just hold it up. See if you don't notice one of them looks like the other in every way. But one of them is left and the other one is right. And that's the way the spirits are in the last day. So just think about that. And in reality, if you hold your hands up and you look at them, just at a first glance, they look just alike. You don't notice a whole lot of difference in them. And just think about that as we, and the simplicity as he is applying it. And that's the way the spirits are in the last day. They're somewhat alike, but they have characteristics that identify them. One is right and the other one is wrong. And it can be identified by its characteristic. And the Spirit of God can be identified by its characteristic. The Spirit of God and the Spirit of the church. And there is a church spirit and a Spirit of God that's absolutely not like the church spirit at all. And we do see through the land, you see churches drawing one to another. You see a group go this direction and a group will go that direction. And kind of become a group to themselves, so to speak, a denominational, because they agree on the same principle of a thing. And how we, as a sheep, must be careful. We have a shepherd here that's bringing the word to our minds and renewing us. But can you live on your shepherd's revelation alone? No, it's got to be to you. You've got to have a revelation in your life that will hold you and to lead you and to guide you and to show you where to stand and how we should be careful in this day and age we're in. We might be able to help someone. We might be able to reach out and to help guide someone else into the fold. But be careful someone else don't draw you from the fold. Because it's a careful, very careful line that we're walking. And it's so close. And, you know, it's only God's grace that's going to hold us. He said if he didn't shorten the days, the very elected wouldn't be saved. So it's only God's grace that is holding that little predestinated seed and seeing her through. Not in our merits, not in our intellect, not how smart we are, or how much we've learned and how much we know. It'll only be God's grace that carries us through. And how each day we should make sure that we're leaning more and more upon him. And pulling on him for revelation and for the understanding of his precious word. You know, as I said this morning, and I pray you didn't misunderstand me, but when I said people, they want to dig down into the very life of Brother Branham on day-to-day living. And they want to, how did he eat breakfast? Where did he go sleep? And they want to know the details of everything he done. And that's wonderful. It's wonderful to know he was a man sent from God for this age. But what I want to go back into the scriptures and I can see things that happened maybe in these men of old's lives, Moses, you know, up through time, because they did something or a situation happened, do I want to pattern my life after the example maybe that happened in their life, something they did, maybe that they didn't want to happen, but God allowed it to happen for a purpose? But no. But they brought the word to us so that we could grow and that we would continue to be more Christ-like. And God's prophet was here. He was a man. He lived as you and I did. But he had the vindicated word of God. And when he got behind this desk and began to preach that word and to bring it forth, God was speaking to his people. And what's recorded in that word was meant for us to live by. But people get so confused because they won't take what he said when they can look back and maybe find one spot where he didn't. It looks like his life contradicted what he preached. But he was a man like you and I. He gained revelation as the Holy Spirit revealed it to him more and more as he went through his ministry. And how great it is to be able to see, you know, I was the Message Marriage and Divorce. I was reading in it was the message he preached after Marriage and Divorce, but he was commenting on that pillar of fire coming down and the cloud that was hanging over the mountain as God was revealing those things to him. And people were seeing it. And when you think how great is our God that he took the time to bring all this word that we have down and to deliver it to a prophet that would come and deliver that message to the church and to this little bride of this last day to prepare the way. And to make ready, I'm coming again. And as he says here in the Pergamos church age, and I didn't actually write down the page number for this, but it's in chapter 5. But he says, now remember that Moses was born for a certain work, but he could not do that work until he had received the gifts which would enable him to do the work. And he had to go out into the desert and wait there. And God had an appointed time. There was to be a certain Pharaoh on the throne, and the people had to be crying for the bread of life before God could send him back. And this is true of our day. But what do we have in this in our day? Multitudes are working signs until we have a generation of sign seekers that know little or nothing about the word or a true move of the Spirit of God. If they see blood and oil and fire, they're happy. And it matters not what is in the word and how true it is to see a little thing that put together called church order, that the Holy Spirit and the brothers gathered around, and Brother Branham speaking those things to them, how that's just went by the wayside for so many. They don't even talk about it. They don't think it was a thing. That was just a church tradition for that church. I don't believe that. God planted that for this little bride in this day. And it was a pattern. Now, man can make a tradition out of things and turn it into something it shouldn't be. But how we must be very careful to watch the motive and the objective and the spirit behind it. He says, if they're happy and it matters not what is in the word, they will support any sign, even unscriptural ones. But God has warned us about that. He said in Matthew 24 that in the last days the two spirits will be so close together that only the very elect could tell them apart, or they alone would not be deceived. How can you tell the spirits apart? Just give them the word test. If they don't speak that word, they are of the evil one. And as the evil one deceived the first two brides, he will try to deceive the brides of this last day by trying to get her to hybridize herself through creeds or just plainly turning from the word to any sign that suits her. But God never placed signs ahead of the word. Signs follow the word, as when Elijah told the woman to bake a cake for him first, according to the word of the Lord. And when she did as the word said, the proper sign came. Come to the word first, and then watch the miracle. The seed word is energized by the Spirit. And how that ought to be such a lesson to us. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And how we should truly follow what the word has set out before us. How can any messenger sent from God believe only a part of the word and deny some of it? The true prophet of God in this last day will proclaim the whole word. Denominations will hate him. His words may be as harsh as John the Baptist, who called them vipers. But the predestinated will hear and be ready for the rapture. The royal seed of Abraham, with like faith as Abraham's, will hold to the word with him, for they are predestinated together. Amen. Yes. Think about that. Amen. The last day messenger will appear in God's appointed time. And it is the end time now, as all know. For Israel is in the homeland, and any time now he will come according to Malachi. And when we see him, he will be dedicated to the word. He will be indicated, pointed out in the word, Revelation 10:7, and God will vindicate his ministry. He will preach the truth, as did Elijah, and be ready for the Mount Zion showdown. Amen. We've seen that happen by God's grace, and our understanding has been open to that, that prophet has been here. But many will understand him because they have been taught scripture in a certain way. They consider truth. When he comes against that, they will not believe. Even some true ministers will misunderstand the messenger because so much has been called God's truth by deceivers. But this prophet will come, and as the forerunner to the first coming cried, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world," even so he will no doubt cry out, "Behold the Lamb of God coming in glory." He will do this, for even as John was the messenger of truth to the elect, so is this one to the last messenger to the elect and the word-born bride. Amen. And by God's grace, I see myself in that picture. But how we should watch to make sure of everything that's presented to us. And it may sound so innocent sometimes. It may sound so good. It comes across so powerful. But does it break continuity in God's word? And how we must truly watch carefully and weigh it out. And, you know, it's not, my job's not here to correct every minister along the way. That's not my place. My job is to only bring what God has given me for my portion to help where I can help. And to speak what he's given me. You know, as I get ready to read this next quote, you'll see what I'm talking about. But when I hear others men minister, and I see the gifts that other men have, that God has allowed, gifts and callings are without repentance. Some men are truly called and have a great gift. And when you hear them preach and you just see, it makes you almost feel just not worthy to even open your mouth. But our prophet, I like how he said this. And when he said this, it really makes me feel like, Wow. You know, he says, this was in Testimony, and this was preached November 28, 1963. He said, I'm not a preacher. And if he couldn't preach, my goodness, where does it leave us? He says, anybody knows that. I'm not a preacher, but I want you to catch the point that he was making. But it's made up in a spiritual form of watching things and seeing things move, forewarning people of things that come to pass. That's my makeup. I can't help that. No more than you can help your makeup. But God has put each one in the body to do certain things. And I watch every little move, every objective, every motive, because everything is governed by spirit. The church was put here for a purpose. There is a spirit behind this church, certainly. A spirit behind your home, behind every building. Behind everything, there is a spirit, a motive, and an objective. And this church comes here to greatly exalt. If this church comes here to greatly exalt some human system or something, then its motives is not right. But if it's put here to try and achieve something for the kingdom of God, then the motive and objective both is right. And if the motives is directed the right that way. And how we should be careful to watch, as I said, and to try to be a shining light, and to truly let our light shine, and to others, and to be a witness. But may our life be the witness, just not what we have to say with our mouth. But may they truly be able to see the Spirit moving through your life, and to be able to see to feel that atmosphere of the sweetness of the Holy Spirit when they come in your presence. And oh, may we truly yield more to the Holy Spirit and ask Him to have His way in our life. You know, as we see so much taking place around us, may we truly keep those things in mind to watch every step. And as Jesus said, I send you forth as sheep into the midst of wolves, but be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Amen. And may we truly be a people that can fulfill that scripture. And that no matter what comes, what goes, saints, we're going to be greatly tested, I'm sure. And things are going to change. Things are going to move. You're going to see things take place. People will come in. People will go here even maybe. Maybe you get to go somewhere. Maybe you'll be somewhere. But hold fast the faith without wavering. And to stand firmly on what God has given us. And no matter, don't let someone sway you from what you know to be the truth. But to hold firm your testimony in this precious word. Amen. You sisters can come to the instruments. A short, sweet little word for this evening. But it's very something to think about. To truly watch. And you know, I don't go to find fault if I go visit another church or if I go to listen to another brother. I don't go with the intent to find fault. I don't go with the intent to see where they're wrong. But I go for the same purpose that I come through these doors. If I am going to attend service, I go to that service and I say, Lord, what's my portion for today? Give me something. But be wise that everything that you hear may not be to your benefit. And you know, as you look around, you see things and you watch people and you watch ways. We've been given that for this reason. Be a fruit inspector. Be careful, because your adversary, the devil, is going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Amen. May we be careful that we don't let him catch us unaware. Amen. But let us pray always and be prayed up, watching and looking for God to move in our lives and in our hearts. And may we truly be watching for the fruit that proves I was a predestinated seed. And I'm coming to maturity. Amen. Yes. Seeing that word made manifest in my life, in your life as an individual. You know, it's so blessed to see the age and time in which we're living. And to know that the coming of the Lord is close at hand. We don't know the day. We don't know the hour. And I was reading where Brother Branham, he was just, you know, he was, I think it was even in 61, I think it's where he was talking. And he thought it could just be so close. It could be tomorrow. But you know, as he put it, he said, God is a creature of eternity, and we're a space of time. And so sometimes, maybe we always see a time and a day, and we see ourselves aging, we see life passing us by, but God knows all things. That clock is ticking right on time. But I wouldn't put off that it might be another 5 years. I wouldn't put off that it might be another 10, as Brother Branham said, let's make sure today. that we're standing where we know. My ticket's in my hand. Whether it's today or 10 years, Lord, I've met the word that was called out for me. I've been portioned and identified in that spirit. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. Amen. Can we just sing that little chorus? What a mighty God we serve. Amen. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, when you look down through time and you see all that God brought His people through, you know, it just, it's amazing when you see what Moses went through and what God brought the children of Israel through. When you see the trials and things that seem like Joseph went through, and all for God's plan, and David, all that he went through, and all of them old men of old, and you see what they went through just for a type and a shadow of what was to come. And here we stand today, by God's grace, at the end, being able to look back and see all of those stepping stones and all of God's great plan, and to realize that today you and I are standing here and He's counting on you. No one can take your place. He saw you before there was a moon or a star, and He predestinated you to fulfill this word. Oh, may we truly give ourselves to Him. And truly, it's so easy sometimes to get caught up in who's right, who's wrong. It's easy to want to point, well, they're wrong, and they're wrong, and they're right, and they're right. As a ministry, that has to be done to keep that little elect pressing. But as individuals before God, as sheep, just pray and cry, Lord, keep me safe in the fold, and let my life shine that one of those other sheep may see something that would draw them to a greater and closer walk with Jesus Christ. With my church, I didn't say that. I said with Jesus Christ. Bring them to see the Word, and the Word made manifest and living in your life will have more of an impact than anything you can tell them or try to show them. Amen. It's the life behind the name. Amen. That makes the demons tremble. Hallelujah. Let's sing it as our pastor comes. Oh, it's the life behind the name that makes the demons tremble. It's the life behind the name that makes the proud heart humble. It was God who devised the plan that in all things has a plan. Make us drink and give. Give us a life behind the name. It's a life behind the name that makes the demons tremble. It's a life behind the name that makes the proud heart humble. It was God who devised the plan, and in all things as a man, He can live, so He can give. Give us a life behind the name. Amen. Been good to be here today, isn't it? Amen. I'll let him preach a little more. Amen.
That was really good. Appreciate it.
And I'm so thankful that God has blessed me with somebody to help me. You know, it's just a blessing itself. Appreciate that. And many, many good things, again, spoke about tonight. You know, I was thinking about those tares and the wheat together. And if you study it out, you find that the tares, of course, even Brother Brandon spoke about it, goes clear up to the end before you can really tell it's a tare. And the only way you can tell it is by that grain that's supposed to be there. Well, wheat grain is supposed to be there, but it just doesn't produce that tare. But then the other thing about the tares is, and I've talked about this before, but how the roots entangle itself around the wheat roots. That's why Jesus said,
don't root up the tares, lest you would root up the wheat also. Because those roots are so entangled around the wheat, and it's right side by side. I mean, it's so close, so close. But my, at harvest time, that's when it comes. It gets all separated out, you see. So we ought to be so thankful to just understand truth in this hour. And it's just God's blessings and His mercy and grace. I just pray, just Lord, continue to give me revelation of the Word of God. Do we have it all? Do we know it all? No. We need Him to continue to reveal the Word to us, make it alive to us, that as we sit and maybe listen to the prophet's messages or read them or read the scriptures, the Holy Spirit is there to bring it to life and it may manifest in our lives itself. So that's what we look forward to. Amen. Without it, we would never make it, friends. No wonder revelation is so precious. It's divine because it comes from God. Amen. So divine. We're so thankful for His grace. Let us bow our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, truly it has been a wonderful day, Lord, to be here gathered in Your presence. I know You're here to help us along the way. Lord, we think oftentimes about a real true daddy that really loves his son. And Father, he's concerned about his son. And he wants to make sure his son grows up to be the right kind of son. That doesn't grow up to be a juvenile delinquent person, but he grows up with good morals and understands the ways of God. And that daddy takes the time to teach him and to show him. You know, some daddies, Lord, they are too busy and they don't have time to deal with their son. And oftentimes things are overlooked and pushed aside. Lord, it only hurts that son when he grows up and he gets a little older because he hadn't had the quite right training and teaching as he was growing up. But Lord, we see that You've been so merciful. Lord, we don't mean it in a sacrilegious way, but You've been the best daddy we could ever have. You're our Heavenly Father, that You know all about Your sons. You know about Your daughters, Lord, and You know what it takes to bring them up and to be what You want them to be. Lord, those that You can be proud to say, they're my son, this is my daughter. And Lord, we would never want to be ashamed of You because we don't want You to be ashamed of us on that day. Father, may we grow and be nurtured in the admonition of the Lord and grow up, Father, and in full age. Help us to do that, Lord, and give us the word it takes to bring that. Sometimes we have to have spankings along the way, Lord, just like a natural son. But Lord, we appreciate it. We still love You, and we love You even more, Lord, even though we get whipped sometimes. Sometimes we get chased. But Father, we love You. And a true son in the natural, though, Lord. I remember many times as a child, Lord, that my daddy had to whip me. But Lord, that didn't make me love him less. Maybe at the time I didn't think he loved me. But Lord, as I grew and I began to understand things more and more, I understood, Lord, that he done that because he loved me. And Father, we understand that with You. We know that You love us and love is correct. So we appreciate it with all our hearts. So we ask now as we leave this little place, again, that You just go with us and keep us safe. And Lord, help us to be brought back again next point in time if You should tarry. Lord, I know one of these days we'll pray that and speak those things, and it'll be the last service. Lord, we'll leave this world. And Father, then the things will have to take place that You said would take place. And Father, until then, may we stay true to the faith and, Lord, walk in the Spirit of God. Now for Your blessings as we part from here. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. May God richly bless you until we meet again.